WEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A trade war brewing between the U.S. and its top trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China, dragging stocks down further today. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi says the risk of a recession has more than doubled since the start of the year. President Trump defending his tariff policy, saying the disruption will be temporary. ABC's Mary Alice Parks is at the White House.
He's doubling down, defending his moves, defending the idea of tariffs, saying that they will, in the long run, be good for U.S. job creation, be good for onshoring, bringing back manufacturing to the United States, but really downplaying this concern that in the short term, they could also include an increase in prices for consumers. Of course, that's what companies, that's what investors are worried about, that companies are going to be forced to pass on the price of these tariffs to consumers in the form of higher prices.
Canada's newly elected Prime Minister, Mark Carney, who is replacing the outgoing Justin Trudeau, says Canada will not back down. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for input from residents on proposed duck hunting season zones and split options. According to a press release, the duck hunting season structure can be reviewed and changed every 5 years under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The DNR is considering public input for 2026 through 2031. Feedback can be submitted online or by mail and must be submitted by March 30th. The DNR will also host a number of public hearings on the proposal over the next few weeks. Hundreds of Wisconsin residents gathered at the state capitol in Madison on Friday to protest efforts by the Trump administration to cut funding for the National Institutes of Health and other research grants. The NIH is the largest source of federal funding for research across the country, contributing tens of millions of dollars to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Protesters gathered in the Capitol Rotunda, seeking to draw more attention to the importance of that research funding for things like cancer, Alzheimer's, and heart disease. A Duluth woman is facing federal charges for illegal possession of a firearm and possession with intent to distribute fentanyl. According to court documents, 30-year-old Khadijah Preston was arrested in October after authorities allegedly found her in possession of fentanyl. They also discovered a firearm in her possession, which she was not allowed to have due to a prior assault conviction in December of 2023. The investigation was conducted by several local law enforcement agencies, including the Lake Superior Violent Offender Task Force. Bayfield County officials say they're looking to provide improved social services by hiring more social workers. The county is looking to hire 3 full-time social worker positions who will mostly work with children in the area. Wisconsin has seen a growing social worker shortage in recent years, making it increasingly difficult for municipalities to find properly qualified workers and prevent excessive turnover. Bayfield County officials say they used to receive dozens of applications from qualified social workers, but now just receive a handful. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
NFL free agency frenzy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers making moves in free agency. They've decided not to re-sign center Josh Myers. Instead, they bring in 49ers left guard Aaron Banks. The 27-year-old 6'6" Banks agreeing to a 4-year contract with Green Bay worth $77 million. It's likely Elgton Jenkins will move from left guard to center. On defense, the Packers adding another player from the Raiders. It's defensive back Nate Hobbs. A 4-year deal worth $46 million, $16 million guaranteed. The Packers losing 27-year-old defensive lineman TJ Slayton today. He'll join the Bengals on a 2-year deal worth over $15 million. NBA, the Bucks headed to Indianapolis to play the Pacers tomorrow night after losing to the Cavaliers at home 112-100.
Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. I thought just standard defense. We did enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening and a little breezy, mostly cloudy otherwise. There could be some snow mixed overnight. A low in the low 20s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, cooler, but still nice for this time of year. High upper 30s. Warmer, though, for the rest of the week. It's 60 right now.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on the tariff roller coaster farmers are stuck on. They're on, they're off, they're on again. What kind of trade policy is this?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a big part at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC at Just BS. Working hard on the board and the tunes and the phones for all you folks. And of course, it's Monday. It's our time. I'm jazzed as hell to reintroduce to you our friend, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's been a couple of weeks. We passed each other like ships in the night in Florida, but here we are together again, man. Great to see you.
I'll just tell you, it's more than a couple of weeks. It's been 3 weeks.
Oh, man.
3 weeks. But I do have to say, that last week, Jess really was great and really made me comfortable and excited for the full 2 hours that I was sort of filling her role as she was filling your yeah. role. No, actually, wait, that's unfair. I was not filling her role. I had no control over
the
technology.
Oh, man, that's great. We appreciate you coming on, Harvey, for the whole thing and Jess as well. We got a lot of compliments on that production. So thank you so much. It's great stuff.
I hope so. I didn't think I was living up to her performance yeah, as my co-host.
Well, she has very fantastic. High standards, Harvey, let me tell you. 855-752-4842. Some
well,
interesting.
I gotta ask you. I know you've been back already on the air. I do have to ask you. How was Florida for you?
Oh, it was amazing. I really, really enjoyed Florida. You know, one of the nice things about it, I went down to stayed in Bradenton for a few days in the Sarasota area, and I got family down there, and I got to go see my uncle Bill, who I believe turns 87 tomorrow. Cool. And he's still driving and getting around. I mean,
you
know what I'm saying? So that was really fun. And then we wandered down to Naples, stayed with my cousin, right downtown for several days down there. Got to the beach almost every day. The weather was really, really nice. We had a pool at the place, man. It was perfect. I actually wore, it was, you know, the sun is, and I'm this pale color after coming out of winter. I had to dose up on the 30, so I'm not as dark as I perhaps would have been, but you know, I gotta take care of the skin.
You have hair on top of your head.
I do, yes.
Did you wear a cap or did you say no?
No, I wore a hat most of the time. It was a little breezy and you know, this lock's blowing around. I mean, I did wear a hat most of the time. Well, it also keeps it out of the eyes.
Safe.
Yeah.
This is the first time down in Florida. I think I wore a hat the whole time.
Yeah. It was a great trip, and it is great to be back. I got to tell you though, it's kind of fantasy land down there, man. You know the palm trees, the really nice cars, and super sick expensive homes, and the food's really good, and it's a great place to visit.
Wait, leave it at that. Don't go to the next step. And I'll just observe. Based on what you've said, first of all, I think the drivers are wild down there.
Dude, I was going to say, you know, they have the best roads. Unfortunately,
they're
both Florida drivers, man.
Yes. Right. And I assume they were not the Wisconsinites who were the worst down there.
No.
Floridians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I was going to say is that I do hope you enjoyed eating there as much as I did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't get nearly as much of the pie.
And you only sent one picture.
I only sent one picture.
Right. Of the pie. I was going to say that, right.
Harvey sent us damn near every meal he
had. Oh, man, but that key lime pie down there is off the charts. That's for real.
Yes. And the third thing I was going to say is that, now I just blanked on what it was. But it was more most important, but I don't remember.
Well, right.
Maybe
back.
I can save it for the good stuff. I do remember. Sorry.
Okay, all right.
Every time you start thinking about how pleasant this place is for the time you're there, just remember Governor DeSantis.
It is. It's interesting. Let's put it that way. But I did have a great time. Great visit. Good to see everyone and had great weather and good time, man. A successful few days off, no doubt. But at the end of the day, Harvey, here we are. We got to be, instead of fantasy land where none of that stuff matters, now we're in the real world. And I guess today, let's start here. We started in the last hour. I want to get your reaction. It seems like the business world is not taking too kindly to the uncertainty that's coming out of this administration. And as of right now, I believe Elon Musk's Tesla is down 45% from its high. From November,
I own no stock directly. So
all right, but this is a gauge of consumer sentiment is down. You know, unemployment. The jobs numbers didn't meet expectations. I mean, there's lots of different signals and indicators that are basically standard understood in the business community that are starting to flash a little bit. And when the president was asked by Fox, "Don't call it news, Bartiromo," I said, no, I can't. I don't want to predict what's going to happen. There's going to be a time of adjustment. But it's all going to work out fine, Harvey K. We haven't talked in a while. What's your sense on how this administration, number one, is handling the tariffs and the economy writ large? And number two, if we don't get a funding deal, continuing resolution of sorts, I mean, we could be shutting down the government by Friday.
Yeah, well, to take up the points you've made or cited, the aluminum makers in this country, and the steel makers, they think it's cool, this tariff talk, because they see profits, because Canadian aluminum, Chinese steel, all that kind of stuff, they won't have to compete as much based on the tariffs. However, the automakers, if Ford is a spokesperson for that, are not happy at all. And by the way, more generally speaking, and I think the stock market's reflecting it, and I'm not I despise capital in the stock market, but I got to say this: business people do not like instability. They do not like unpredictability. Okay, for all the talk of entrepreneurialism and innovation, they prefer things to go along steadily, calmly, so they can figure out whether or not it's worth investing anew, whether it's worth building new plants sooner rather than later. So yeah, this doesn't
surprise me at all. Or doing the stock buybacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
That's the big concern. Can we do our stock buybacks? No.
Well, that may happen in some ways, because look, if the stock market's crashing, they're in a position to do that. But it's just, let's put it this way. It sucks. It sucks. Working people have endured enough by way of inflation.
Yeah.
These public employees, the government workers who are being laid off, what kind of job market are they going to enter right now? I mean, that what was it, the January job report?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's an indicator. Wait till we see February and March. That'll be the thing.
Yeah, and we have some additional inflation numbers coming out this week as well. The Atlanta Fed, I think they revised the GDP predictions to contraction for the first quarter of like just under 3%. And that's going from a positive almost 3% not so long ago. I mean, these concerns and indicators are flashing very, very quickly, and it certainly seems to be coming out in the numbers in the market. Now, how does that impact everybody else, right? How does that impact if someone's not in the market? What does that mean for them?
Well, I do have friends and family who are already feeling the heat.
In what way? Tell me that.
Well, the value of their holdings, whatever it is, has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a couple of young people I know are particularly worried because this, if they'd asked me what should they do, I wouldn't have told them to go into stocks. Okay, but yeah, they're enduring. I mean, for now,
Well, you're nothing like an investment. Beginning,
you know, I am 75. I have never bought a share of stock. I am, of course, my pension and all that kind of stuff depends on performance of the market.
Sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
But I've never bought stock. I never wanted to be, however large or small, a capitalist.
Could I interest you in some Trump meme coins, Harvey? I mean, for the low.
Well, and by the way, that doesn't help add to the sense of stability, I'll tell you that.
Folks, you're listening to
instability of the president alone. Has got
you mean a literal joke currency doesn't add stability to the market?
Might put some money in his pocket, though. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey Kay, professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and a friend of ours. Always a pleasure to catch up, Harvey. So we'll wait and see. And I'm not rooting against this economy, but I just think when you see this kind of reaction, and we see the lack of leadership and, as you mentioned, consistency, certainty coming out of the executive branch, no wonder why things are a little volatile right now.
I realize how bad I sound. Well, I want people to go into the next election remembering the instability and remembering the possibility that we're, by then, we may have entered into a recession. I want them to know that. I mean, I don't want people to be happy about the Trump administration because what they're doing is nasty and brutish. And people need to know that. And the first time they're going to know that is when, my God, the price of eggs just doubled or something like that. Or the automobile they've been saving up has just increased 30%, you know, to purchase it. I mean, I don't mean to be, I don't want to sound that bad.
No, okay? It's just reality, then, though, Harvey.
But I'll also tell you this. Back in the early 80s, when Reagan became president, there was a Reagan recession. People don't remember this because they think of the 80s when he was, 80s? Have I got my years right? Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah, 80s. Yep, 1980.
Okay. You know, everyone thinks that was a time of, you know, sort of dynamic action in the economy because it was the age of, time of the rich and famous. Remember the celebrity rich and famous and the TV shows and
right,
all that.
Right.
But there was a serious recession at the outset of the Reagan presidency. However, that we were out of the recession by the time that the campaign for president in 84 began. As a consequence, people did not think about the recession. They thought about the fact we were coming out of the recession. I don't want a recession right now, but I do want people to know that the economy has not gotten any better for their daily lives because of Trump, and it's gotten worse in certain ways.
Well, was that a result of Reagan's policies?
Well, that's a good question. I wish I could answer that directly. I just don't know the answer to that, okay? I just don't know. I mean, of course, they all tried to say, well, it had to do... Well, no, it was Reagan's policies. It begins with Carter recruiting Volcker to be the chair of the Federal Reserve. And he was determined to draw. He wanted a recession because he wanted to hurt the working class. I mean, that was the plan, and it did hurt the working class, and it made life all the more difficult after the terrible 70s for the working class through the 80s. I mean, inequality then. In fact, the rich did get tremendously richer under Reagan, and inequality, as bad as it was getting in the 70s, it got even worse in the 80s. Now, keep in mind that I think you're right about things. You know, companies can buy back stock. You know. I mean, we know the story in some ways.
It has been written and reported before, and it will come back around again. Hence, perhaps the reason folks are getting a little jittery in the marketplace today. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Come back with us. We're going to get into that democracy. We're going to talk a little bit about perhaps Bernie Sanders and, oh, yeah, happy International Day of Hope, maybe. How does the United States, the only country at the UN, to not vote for the International Day of Hope? Come back with us, Harvey Kay, just on the board.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
To the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess is on the board. Harvey K is on the line with us as well. Thank you, Harvey, for joining us today. Always a pleasure to catch up. Not only is Elon Musk, the Tesla, having a little bit of a slide, apparently there have been some outages on the X. Twitter gone down a few times today, Harvey.
A few times. Well, that first time it did, I didn't know it was happening. I thought there was something wrong with my Wi-Fi. There was something wrong with my phone, my iPad. And then somebody of consequence sent me a note and said, you do realize that Twitter's down, right? And I said, no, I don't. But here's the thing. I think there's going to be fingers pointed by the likes of Trump and Musk and Charlie Kirk and that whole crew. They're going to say, oh, the left is trying to pull down Twitter, X. They won't say Twitter, they'll say X. And I got into a discussion with some folks who I know, some of whom are political activists and some of whom are very active students of the web and technologies regarding the web. And they are convinced it was a false flag.
Hmm.
They think that this was a setup. Okay, and I'll give you one of two possibilities, but then this was set up as an excuse to then point a finger at the left. They want an excuse to do some seriously dangerous stuff. Okay, now I said to him, I resisted that idea, and which led one of them to say this to me in a text. Cyber attacks are different from in-person protests, because I referred to the Tesla. I said, you know, people are going after Tesla. So more often than not, companies will pay white hackers to go ahead and legally find vulnerabilities in their security. This is the legal way of doing so. Considering Elon gutting over 50% of the workforce that just maintained the structure of Twitter, it would be more plausible that the duct tape that they were using to keep the site going failed.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
That's possibility one.
Yes.
Possibility two. Also, his Musk's half-brained idiots doing cuts to the federal government left their website wide open with access to the public, being equivalent to closing a door with a latch, but not locking it. His OPSEC, Operation Security Awareness, is laughably bad. So there you go, okay?
Oh, great. This is a guy who's got his nose in all of our internal government systems. Excellent, yeah. Excellent.
I'm trying to get more.
Duct tape and unlocked doors. That doesn't bring a lot of joy here, Harvey. The Mirror.com reporting that Dark Storm Team hackers have claimed responsibility. Dark Storm Team hackers. Apparently, a group known for sophisticated cyber warfare attacks and successful attacks on high security systems, the group claimed responsibility in a public Telegram post, though the actual content of the post remains unclear. One report indicates the team bragged about having successfully taken Twitter offline. Last week, Darkstorm said it would unleash cyber attacks on the government websites of NATO countries, according to the Mirror.com.
Oh, so wait a second. So that's a third possibility.
Another, yep. Dark
okay.
Storm.
The third possibility is that they've mistakenly believed that Musk cares something about NATO.
Dark Storm team targets key business sectors, mainly in Israel and NATO member countries. The security service provider wrote in a report. The group reportedly vowed in a post last month to unleash a wave of cyber attacks on government websites of NATO countries, Israel, and nations that support Israel. Elon Musk, who named it X after person, confirmed in a post the platform was a site of a DDoS, was a target of a DDoS attack.
Well, I have. Well, I but I guess.
But here's the thing. So okay, but this is the guy who's going to fix our government. He can't take care of his own stock and his cars and his business there. He's blowing up rockets all over the freaking place. And now he left Twitter up for the DDoS attack. But yeah, let's give him the keys to the vault.
I'm almost, you know, four-letter words are emerging in my brain.
Help.
Keep him in
they
there.
Will not
help.
Emerge from my mouth.
Help is a four-letter word.
And love is as well. But that's the power. Right. Not most.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So, I mean, I you know, this kind of thing, whether it pertains to Elon Musk, look, the guy's rich, doesn't make him the most brilliant man ever and can do anything he wants with no mistakes or no anything ever. And he certainly has gotten more, I think, credibility because you're given that to him because he's rich. That means he must be great and smart and all those things. And of course, we know that's not necessarily.
Well, no love is lost amongst the billionaires. So for all I mean, you could have told me that right. Jeff Bezos had ordered the high-tech guys at Amazon to go after
right. Oh, now we got to live in the world of billionaires. Didn't literally, I mean, Harvey, I know we're kind of bouncing over the place, but I think yes. I saw that Elon Musk challenged, was number one ripping on the president of Poland, and then challenged Vladimir Putin to a fight. Is this what's happening right now? And I would just say, on behalf of Vladimir Putin, I accept Elon Musk. I will take that action.
I'll bring the popcorn.
Harvey, there are some concerning issues. One of them, and maybe we've only got a couple minutes left in this segment, regarding the media, a continual slide, what I see it from our mainstream media sources. Ruth Marcus, an associate editor and columnist over at the Washington Post, has resigned. She wanted to put up an article that was, you know, critical of the decision making of Bezos when they went after the whole editorial team and all that. They wouldn't publish it, so she, you know, stood on her morals and decided she was no longer going to be at the Washington Post. And we see this happening over and over again. I mean, obviously Bezos buys the Post. We got Zuckerberg and Facebook, and we got the billionaire owning over at the LA Times. And it's already been very difficult for journalists and journalism in general and local media and local newspapers. I mean, what we're doing here over at Civic Media is really kind of against the grain. And I want to talk a little bit about that on the other side here, Harvey. And then also, as well, this protester from Colombia legally on a green card, picked up under the orders of Donald Trump. So the president can now just start having people arrested? AOC had some words on that, and I certainly have some thoughts on that. We're going to get Harvey's thoughts on that as well. You know, he is the professor emeritus of democracy. And I think in order to have a democracy, we actually do need to have some working justice system as well. Plus, the end of the show, tell us something good is beautiful out. You can use that if you want. 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. As warmer weather starts to sweep across the state, Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials say flu rates are beginning to slow down. This winter saw higher than usual flu activity with lower vaccination rates. It also saw an increase in other respiratory viruses like RSV and COVID-19. Health officials are warning that even though flu rates are declining across the state, they're still too high and residents should be taking steps to protect themselves. Residents should also check with their health care provider on their vaccine eligibility. Wisconsin parks managed by the National Park Service saw a record number of visitors in 2024. According to the National Park Service data, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway saw the biggest difference with over 900,000 visitors, a record high, and a 12% increase over 2023. The Apostle Islands also saw a 3% increase and near record high last year with nearly 254,000 visitors. The increases come as the Trump administration seeks to slash the federal workforce, including National Park Service workers. A routine traffic stop in Rusk County led to a significant drug bust in the early hours of Friday morning. According to law enforcement authorities, a patrol deputy pulled over a suspicious vehicle near Conrath at around 1 a.m. and requested help from a K-9 unit. The K-9 then alerted them to the presence of illegal drugs in the vehicle. Authorities say they recovered a large amount of marijuana, methamphetamine, and cash, as well as a fake firearm. The driver, 50-year-old Patrick Buswell of Holcomb, was arrested and is now facing multiple charges. The Rice Lake City Council will discuss the potential purchase of the National Guard Armory building again this week. The council will further consider the purchase in a closed session on Tuesday after reviewing public input on the possible future of the site over the last couple of weeks. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs offered the city and Barron County the right of refusal on the over $500,000 property. The county declined, but Rice Lake is considering using it for affordable housing or a community center. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. One of the great things about hosting Nightlight, getting recommendations from guests I have on the show. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on the show last week, and we were talking about Parasite director Bong Joon-ho's new film. Chris recommended another of his films made in 2006 called The Host, a thriller about a slimy sea creature created from hazardous waste tossed into a river in Korea. If you like suspense and don't mind subtitles, check it out. Even though the Frasier reboot was canceled, Frasier himself says it's not only coming back for season 3, but will bring extra star power. Paramount Plus pulled the plug after season 2, but Kelsey Grammer says a different network will no doubt pick it up. The Emmy-winning actor added that the executive at Paramount Plus, who gave the green light, left and took all the support for the show with him. Grammer says it will be back, and possibly with Ted Danson returning as Sam Malone. Nice to see Ted finally getting some TV work. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening and a little breezy, mostly cloudy otherwise. There could be some snow mixed overnight. A low in the low 20s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, cooler, but still nice for this time of year. High upper 30s. Warmer, though, for the rest of the week. It's 60 right now.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Albaugh, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Emptiness for sure.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Our pal Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me till the top of the hour. Don't forget, tell us something good. We wrap it up on a smile, a cherry on top, and a positive note at the end of the show. That will be our last segment, the next segment. Harvey, as I was talking about before the last break, the goings on in the media world. Another one from the Washington Post has departed. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs here briefly, if you would entertain me here. Columnist and associate editor Ruth Marcus, and we've quoted Ruth Marcus a lot on this show, announced her departure Monday, saying she can no longer stay at the paper where she's worked for four decades after she and the chief executive and publisher Will Lewis. She said that Will Lewis, the chief executive and publisher, he spiked her column. Well, it was critical of Bezos's mandate to the opinion section. Here is what she wrote in her resignation letter. Jeff's announcement that the opinion section will henceforth not publish views that deviate from the pillars of individual liberties and free markets threatens to break the trust of readers that columnists are writing what they believe, not what the owner has deemed acceptable. More than 75,000 digital subscribers canceled within 48 hours of Bezos implementing the changes last month. And opinions editor David Shipley stepped down over the order. Marcus went on to write, Will's decision to not run the column that I wrote respectfully dissenting from Jeff's edict, something that I have not experienced in almost two decades of column writing, underscores that the traditional freedom of columnists to select the topics they wish to address and say what they think has been dangerously eroded. Of course, remember, Bezos blocked the newspaper from endorsing Kamala Harris for president. That caused 300,000 digital subscribers to cancel within days, and the Amazon executive has moved closer to Trump since the election. Finally, Marcus said in her resignation letter, I love the Post. It breaks my heart to conclude that I must leave. I have the deepest affection and admiration for my colleagues and will miss them every day. And I wish you both the best as you steer this storied and critical institution through troubled times. But don't say anything bad about the boss. Harvey K., the media in this country is just taking a hit, man. And I don't know. I don't think that billionaires owning the media is any better than billionaires owning the politicians. If we don't have freedom of press in this country, you know, by folks that are not encumbered by a billionaire's influence, we really don't have freedom of press.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, let me go back a little bit in time. When Senator John McCain warned us, and I rarely quote John McCain, but he warned us that the emergence of a dictator will be the first thing we'll see is the loss of a truly free press. He warned about that, and he had Trump in mind. Now, what Trump has been able to do, of course, he's lined up these, I know I joked about it before the break, that, you know, there's little love lost amongst these billionaires, mm-hmm. but it is the case that Trump has lined them up. We saw them at the inauguration. So I was shocked, though, when Bezos did what he did regarding, you know, bowing to Trump in his edit on his in his editorial pages, insisting on what's it called? What do you say? Individual liberties.
Individual liberties and free, like free market. Market.
I mean, I mean that's like take us back to the, you know, to the late 19th century kind of stuff. So that surprised me. I will tell you that I have had an online, what do they call it, a web subscription, an online subscription mm-hmm. to the Post, and I canceled mine you as did. A consequence. Yeah. Yeah. Though, in fact, apparently my subscription, I couldn't cancel for the next 3 weeks after I did that. So I still have been getting the news stuff.
Yeah.
But it also surprised me what you just said. I had no idea Ruth Marcus had stuck around that long. Yeah. I mean, it strikes me. I mean, I know people's livelihoods are at stake, but it is the case that if they're told from now on, you're going to toe the line intellectually and ideologically and editorially, I mean, that should have driven the whole cast of characters out, I would think.
Yeah.
Anyhow, to me, it's all very disturbing. The monopolization or oligopolization of the media. I remember articles from when I was, you know, doing graduate work where people were worrying about it and it's just gotten worse, obviously, over the past 50 years. But you said something very interesting. And you said just before we went on to the break that civic media is trying to represent another voice, another set of ideas, an open conversation. And I intended to say, I didn't realize you were going to say it then. I intended to say when we came back that there's a whole diverse array of folks who are trying to do that. And I brag, sorry, I don't get paid, folks. Everyone realize I do not get paid. I do this because I really enjoy talking with Dom and with Jess and letting people hear what I have to say. But I have to say that I think it's amazing what civic media is doing, especially in these moments. And I'm proud to be a guest on a weekly basis with you. So I say that as a compliment for what you guys do, and also for what people have done in putting together civic media around the state of Wisconsin. I'm out of the state. I tell people about this. They can't believe what's happened here in the state politically. But now hearing this, they think, wow, things must be happening anew there.
Yeah. And thank you, Harvey. I mean, it's always a pleasure to have you, man. And our friendship and our conversations have grown over the years. And it's been a whole lot of fun. And we wouldn't have this opportunity if it weren't out for the efforts of the folks here at Civic Media. And it's not all, you know, news talk. I mean, it's music and it's getting out and it's, you know, there's sports and there's things that are happening, because at the end of the day, there's people in these local communities that are, you know, interacting. But, you know, doesn't have like the web presence of the Washington Post or the New York Times or the LA right. Times. You know, I mean, it's just a different level. And not to say that it's not as impactful, but when you see these billionaires buying up these legacy newspapers and then just, you know, bending them to their will, I think you know, we as consumers of news, and I get it. I can differentiate, Harvey, between the opinion piece and the news piece. You know, I'm not sure a lot of people can. So, like Donald Trump, because everything's crooked media, everything's, you know, the bad press. So I am concerned for us in this country because of that. And thankfully there are organizations out there like Civic Media, and though there's others out there as well, locally, like Wisconsin Watch, Wisconsin Examiner, you know, Urban Walk. We got people that are putting stuff out there, Cap Time, and we can go through the list.
Sure.
But they're, you know, when you're talking about the Washington Post, that's just a whole nother level.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm going to say something stupid right now. Okay. One thing that I've been reflecting on, you know, that I was professor, and I'm now professor emeritus of democracy and justice, and I was thinking, did I fail to properly get my colleagues when I was there to name our program and my position? Should we have called ourselves Democracy and Dictatorship? And I, not because we want to promote it, but we should have maybe spent a hell of a lot more time talking about how it happens.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it Reagan who made some comments about, you know, it doesn't pass through your bloodline. You know, you got to fight. Every generation's got to fight for their freedoms and their version of democracy. Every generation has those challenges, Harvey. And I think, I blame the boomers, but I think we're failing it now, man. When you know, everyone's in their silos and it's hard to have these conversations. You know, we talked about earlier when Bernie Sanders came to town over the weekend, Harvey. He was in Kenosha. He was in another small town. Thousands of people coming out on his anti-oligarchy tour. And one of the pro-Trumpers at Parkside in Kenosha was out there, and he was, you know, pro-Trump and was mad how everybody was slandering, as his words were, the president. And then he lamented that it was hard to have conversations without people, you know, swearing at him and doing all that. And I disagree with the slander, I do agree. Yes, you know, these conversations are getting more and more, I think, difficult for some folks to have. And I'm not clear how we engage without, you know, confronting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm down to have a conversation, but if you think, you know, doing the Nazi symbol is going to be ever okay with me, man, there's no explaining those kinds of things away.
Look, their leader, Donald Trump, ended the possibility of good conversations when he referred to the whole cohort of Democratic politicians who had the audacity in his mind to challenge him. Okay, he called, you know, what did he do? He promised he was going to prosecute them. And by the way, that may be coming. Let's be clear about that. That may well be coming. And it's also the case, and let's be clear, that if MAGA forces believe that Donald Trump won the election of 2020, how do you possibly have a conversation about democracy and the making of change?
Yeah, yeah. Makes it very difficult, doesn't it? When you're talking about alternative facts, because, you know, at the end of the day, a conversation, communication requires an agreement of certain facts. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Otherwise, you're just bouncing around. So that's the challenge. And I think, unfortunately, you know, people like Donald Trump, who is a skilled hustler, is able to, you know, manipulate people's fears and be vindictive. And he has his own narcissistic tendencies that people grab onto, and he motivates them with the fear. And as it pertains to, you know, these other arrests coming, yeah, perhaps. And let me just segue, if I may, briefly, the arrest of Mahmoud Khalil. He is one of the Colombia protesters. A little reporting from the New Republic. This is what Trump had to say today. Following my previously signed executive orders, ICE proudly apprehended and detained Mahmoud Khalil, as Trump puts it, a radical foreign pro-Hamas student at the campus of Columbia University. This is the first arrest of many to come. We know there are more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity, and the Trump administration will not tolerate it. Many are not students. They are paid agitators. Yeah. We will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again. If you support terrorism, including the slaughtering of innocent men, women, and children, your presence is contrary to our national and foreign policy interests. You are not welcome here. We expect every one of America's colleges and universities to comply. Thank you. Thank you. Now, this guy's here. He was arrested returning to his home despite the fact he has a green card. ICE initially informed his lawyer, Amy Greer, that they had revoked the student visa. When Greer brought up Khalil's green card, which would make it much harder to detain him, ICE said that was revoked too and hung up on her. He's now thought to be in an ICE facility in Louisiana. Now, this facility in Louisiana, according to the ACLU, is pretty nasty. He is now moved to the detention facility, infamous for its rampant abuse of prisoners, including, quote, this is from the ACLU, restrictive 5-point shackles, prolonged solitary confinement, physical assault, sexual abuse, and denial of prescribed medications. That's where this Columbia student protester, who Donald Trump is now labeled a terrorist, is being held as they revoked his green card, Harvey.
You know, there's something called due process.
Yeah, you think? There used to be.
There has been something called due process. So in fact, if they're convinced that he has in some ways broken the law, then they should put him in a courtroom, not in a prison, not in a jail. Okay. And as I think about Louisiana, they have a pretty infamous prison down there. I'm sure the question of how to incarcerate people ought to be explored more fully. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I'm thinking of Angola, the prison down there. No, I mean, seriously, look, there are times when presidents issue executive orders that threaten rights and the Constitution. And this kind of event where ICE can go out and arrest someone with a green card, pick them up and throw them in a prison without any due process, it's unconstitutional. And it's striking that I wouldn't be surprised if there were mass protests at campuses around the country.
There should be, Harvey, and I think in some way this is what, you know, the president wants. I think he's eager to, you know, bring the hammer down.
Yes,
for some reason. And there should be protests from students around the country. I certainly think so. I mean, come on, where is the due process? And this is coming not from a local prosecutor, not from a DA or anything like that. This is coming from the White House. The president said, arrest that person, and they went out and arrested him. That doesn't seem like probable cause to me. He hasn't been charged with any crimes, let alone convicted of any crimes.
Folks, I have a question to ask.
Yes.
I have a question to ask you in that same spirit. He was eager to bring an end to birthright citizenship. And I believe he issued an executive order to explore doing so. Did he actually issue an executive order to stop it?
Come back with us. We'll figure it out. 855-752-4842 and tell us something good.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the groundbreaking achievements of Elizabeth Bayard. She defied the odds to become the first female journalist in Northeast Wisconsin. It was the mid-1800s. Bayard was considered a trusted voice as she wrote about the developing area of the territory known as Green Bay. Her reporting revealed the stories of women and families, offering a fresh perspective in a male-dominated press at that time. Perseverance, passion, and breaking barriers. Bayard is a part of Green Bay and Wisconsin history, and a symbol of the progress women continue to make every day. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Lisa Hale.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love?
And welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Like to wrap up the day with something good. Got our pal Harvey K here for one more segment. Also, Jess P.S. is on the board. We got some texters here as well. I'm gonna share a little bit here, if I may. And I'm, you know, there's so many texts, and some are very prolific. So it's kind of... You know who you are, but it's kind of hard to get through them all. But I did see Len from Madison. Something good. I never knew what true happiness was until I got married, but then it was too late.
Boo.
Len, come on, man. It's pretty amusing. I appreciate it. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. We got our pal, the original Claire. She's on the line. Welcome, Claire. Happy Monday. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
What do you call a pea that rolls off the dinner plate?
Go ahead. Tell us.
An escapee.
Damn it, Claire.
He's kicking himself.
We love you, Claire. Thank you so much for making us laugh. That's good stuff. 855-752-4842. 855-75-Civic. John, you will be next. Tell us something good, buddy.
Yeah. 10 years from now, Trump is going to be a long goner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actuarially speaking, the odds are probably pretty high that would be the case, John. So, unfortunately, we got to live another 4 years under his administration. Thank you, John. Thanks for playing, man. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tell us something good. Ollie from the Northwoods, you are next. Welcome, Ollie. What do you got for us?
Well, I woke up Sunday morning, and for the first time since last fall, my clock was actually on time.
You never set it back, huh? It's
like, well, I tried, but it has a mind of its own, and it
changes itself
in a couple of weeks.
That's what I'm saying. Mine does the same thing, Ollie. That's why I didn't change mine this time. I'm like, oh, I got it. My watch, my phone. I'll be fine. And I woke up this morning thinking it was 5:30, and it wasn't. It was 6:30. So my clock does the same thing. It's got a mind of its own. I think it might be a Musk clock. Harvey, how about you, man? You got anything you want to share?
Okay, I know that this is very unpleasant for the two of you to hear.
Okay.
But I have to say that I welcome daylight savings time. I like sitting here and looking out the window, and it's still light out.
Oh, man, I'm down. I really love it. Now, can we just leave it like it is today? How about that?
All year round?
Yeah, we just
never change it again.
Yeah, either way. I don't care either way. Let's just keep it the same regardless of which way it is.
Okay, and I could buy it.
I'm down with the no change. Mm-hmm. All right, Harvey, we're on the same page. How about you, Jess? What do you got for it?
Yesterday, I went for a hike for the first time in a couple months.
Wow.
This is something I love doing. I love just packing a bag and just leaving the house and just going for a nice, good, long walkies. And it was glorious. I went and I walked around in the woods. And I just listened to the birds. I watched the squirrels. I looked at the trees. It was glorious.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sorry I missed you yesterday. So
the woods needed me. I needed the woods.
Now, are you hiking or walking? Do you have like hiking boots or you just put like tennis shoes on?
Just tennis shoes.
Some tennis shoes.
Yeah. That's
for a long walkabout.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. You got something good?
Well, you know, yes, it was a glorious day today. So, but I already said that. But I do want to shout out happy birthday to my buddy John. He turned 50.
Happy birthday, John.
We had a 50th birthday party for him. And, you know, all these young kids. It's so cute, Harvey. You know, these kids these days hardly got any grades, you know. Oh, they're all pushing because that whole crew. I'm the oldest guy in the room now, Harvey. I mean, most of the time when I'm hanging out with folks, I'm the oldest guy in the room. But I do got to say.
How old are you?
I'll be 54 in June, so 53 right now.
Okay, if you don't want to be the oldest guy in the room, when you have a good event coming up, you invite
me. That's right, Harvey, you're always welcome, man. Well, you know what I always say, though, it's not the age, Harvey, it's the mileage. But happy birthday to John and his wife, Ann, put a great party together downtown Milwaukee. We went to this facility and had drinks and some food and had a lot of fun. And I just got to tell you, you know, to have a good crew and the kind of folks that you see, you know, once or twice or maybe three times a year to get together and reminisce and make new times and laugh about the old times. And just like, you know, happened to meet John because his wife was a friend of my wife's and, you know, how the world kind of works. And we just had an absolute ball. It was great to see everybody, took some great pics and had a wonderful time. And if there's nothing, I mean, I love celebrating and the 50ths are pretty good. But one bad news was I couldn't find the nasty t-shirt that he got me when I turned 50. I must have purged it in the move. So I was going to give it back. But instead, Steph ran to the store, got him some Pepsid, some Tums, some readers. You know, you got to get the readers. You know, you're getting old, all the gay gifts for all of our old friends. So, yes, Harvey, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when I turned 50 and I went into a classroom, I told my students, do you realize that five of me laid out head to toe would take us back before the American Revolution?
Wow.
And now we could say it takes us back to the founding, you know, basically to the founding, 250 years.
Mm, yeah.
So you and your friends, basically only five of you, laid out.
250 years, Harvey. You know what? You're one of those guys collecting all that Social Security, aren't you? Hey, you look great for 250, Harvey. Harvey K., our friend, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, always a pleasure. Look forward to next week, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jess P.S., working hard on the board. Thank you, all of our fine friends and listeners. Tomorrow, Angela Lane going to join me at 5 o'clock, I believe. Now stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Go out and enjoy the sunlight, folks. Have a great night. You better find somebody to love.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show joining us at 10:33 to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In the trade war widening, Canada's Ontario province today adding a 25% tariff on electricity that's sent to the U.S. Uncertainty over President Trump's tariffs and counter-tariffs by the top trading partners also dragging down stocks. Matthew McGuire is former executive director of the World Bank Group and says businesses will be forced to pass on those costs to customers.
Consumers are 70% of our economy. So as more and more people worry about losing jobs, as more and more businesses are worried about increase in costs that consumers are going to have to pay for. There are a lot of people who are very worried right now about where we're headed.
Ukraine's President Zelensky meeting in Saudi Arabia with the Saudi Crown Prince ahead of high-level peace talks tomorrow with the U.S. A source close to Zelensky says he will present a partial ceasefire deal with Russia during negotiations. Another round of storms pushing through the south today. Authorities say a tornado touched down in Sanford, Florida. No one was injured. This is ABC News.
I'm James.